All right, going to our last hour with Peter Lavenda, Sinister Forces, a grimoire of American political witchcraft. He's defined that a couple of times. I'd go back and listen to the podcast on this one. And also listen tomorrow night to Ghost, Art Bell with the annual show on Coast to Coast AM. Your questions, your comments about how our country, the currents and the undercurrents that have guided our history. When we are at our best and when we're at our worst. When we're at our worst, it's usually because certain people have been able to wrestle power and use political witchcraft to do it. And then we suffer the side effects. We'll get back to where you are with that coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Lots of people hanging on for Peter Lavenda. Let's get to the calls right away. We'll start with John in Lima, Ohio, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. John?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I'm wondering if you've heard the same thing about the Serpent Mounds. I was down at the Serpent Mounds when I was about 12. And much later on, just as recently as, say, a couple years ago, I heard that it was rumored that that's where the bones of the giants were buried, which would kind of lean toward a demonic slant toward the Serpent Mounds in that area.
Why would the giants be? Why would the giants be demonic?
Because they were created by fallen angels and humans.
You're going with you're saying the Nephilim. You're saying that these would be the bones of the Nephilim. Okay.
Right.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Peter. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that about the Serpent Mound. I mean, all I've learned about the Serpent Mound was, you know, the very complicated astronomical sighting that it includes with it. So it's kind of Stonehenge that way. People have found all sorts of correlations with it astronomically, but this is the first time I've heard of anything actually being buried there. It's certainly not the bones of giants. I haven't heard that at all.
I just want to say, John, I think there's a difference between the perception that anything that was a giant would have been automatically those referred to as the Nephilim from Genesis, that there are many people who maintain that there are giants, had been giants on the earth and are giants, but not necessarily the way they're described in the Bible. They may have just been a race of giants that had existed at one time, and different cultures report that they were up against, much like there were once giant lizards walking the earth, there were also giant people. Let's go west of the Rockies. Mary is in San Diego on Coast to Coast for Peter Lavenda, Sinister Forces. Mary?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Peter. Can you hear me okay, first of all?
Sure.
Excellent. I am a working journalist in San Diego and a longtime Coast to Coast listener. I have seen firsthand evidence of political witchcraft in my journalism. I was covering a congressional debate, and one of the candidates was attacking the other. And I know it's typical political stuff, but the noise in the auditorium was getting up to about 200 decibels or 150, somewhere in that range. After the debate, followers of this candidate, of the Republican candidate, swarmed the Democratic candidate to the effect that the local Rotarian president and some other supporters had to protect her, form a protective shield around her. And the president of the local Chamber of Commerce had to escort the Democratic candidate off premise for her own safety. And I got word that these supporters of the Republican candidate had been paid to come down and do this. Not only that, I just want to say that it's not just that there are good forces at work too, and those of us of conscience must band together and not allow this political witchcraft, the dark magic, to succeed. As evidence of this, I got through after my first call only being on hold for four rings. And I'm wondering the guest comment.
Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling. One point that you brought up that I really do want to make sure that I make is that I'm not claiming that anyone who gets involved in mysticism or occultism is evil or dealing with powers of darkness. That's one thing I want to make clear right away. That probably hasn't been clear in the way we've been talking, but from my point of view, if you're using these studies and this research and practicing these things to get closer to the divine or to altered states of consciousness and things like that, I don't have any problem with it. It's when it's being used as a tool against others, then from my point of view, it becomes, as you called it, dark magic. It becomes sinister. It becomes political witchcraft. It's sinister because it's political. Anything political, it has to deal with groups of people. So when you're using this force in politics, when you're using this idea in politics, you are basically tampering with something which is far more dangerous and far darker than you may even realize. And I think that's the point that I wanted to make.
Okay. I want to address two things that Mary just said. First is that she said she could get through on four rings, which is awesome. That always helps when you call early. So we like it when people do that. If we're, you know, going to go to the phones at the top of the hour and you start ringing at five of, which is what Mary did, you'll get through a lot faster. Highly encourage you to do that. Whenever you think we're going to the phones, call early. Let's lock you in. And as far as the rest of you are concerned, we'll try and get an open line for you coming up here in just a minute. Though Mary said that the room, the supporters of this particular candidate got the decibel level up to 200, and then she corrected herself and said 150 decibels. I doubt that. I think, I don't know everything about sound, but I thought like eardrums rupture at about 160 decibels. If you got up to 200, theoretically, people are having, you know, brain aneurysms and stuff at 200 decibels. So I'm thinking
probably pretty loud. That's
loud, fine. I'll go loud, but not 200 decibels is like above a jet engine. So I'm guessing it wasn't that loud. So let's go wild card line. Jerry is in Ohio on Coast to Coast. Jerry?
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
Good. And you?
Not too bad. My question was, in Southern California, there's this reservation. It was called the Bohemian Reservoir, and it was there was a video taken that was on YouTube or whatnot, and the video basically showed this group of celebrities and politicians and religious figures and whatnot.
Sure.
I don't know if you want me to name any names or anything, but it was from back two presidents ago.
Right, right. It's a fairly well documented group, right?
Yeah, I was wondering, what your opinion was that. Like, the video said that it was basically, they were doing a thing called the cremation of care, and they were basically, mocking a sacrifice of a child to the god of wisdom, Moloch. And I know in the Bible it says, you know, do not sacrifice your children to Moloch. I was just wondering if that was, a satanic thing, and I was also wondering if, you know, if Barack Obama is involved in any kind of third-party group like that or any kind of ceremony like that.
Well, I mean, the Bohemian Grove thing is pretty well documented, as Ian just said. It's a worrisome thing to me because I've seen some of the videotape as well, and I have a hard time getting my mind around that this is all just for fun and games, you know. But then I have a problem with Skull and Bones, too. So anytime you have so-called secret societies and they're attracting the leaders, you know, in politics and in industry and everything to engage in rituals. I mean, the whole thing just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm sorry. You know, so it's hard for me to warm up to it. And I do suspect it. I really don't know what they think they're proving by all of this, you know, this tomfoolery, if that's really what it is. It seems stupid to me. But then your other question about Barack Obama being involved in any groups like this, I don't know. I think that if he had been, we sure would have heard about it by now. I think that, you know, people have done their best to find it as much as they can, or make it up if they can't find it out. So
right.
I haven't heard anything, you know.
Well,
I really haven't.
So. I haven't heard anything either, but I'll say this. There's a long history in this country of people who were outsiders who got into power, who almost immediately became insiders. Fair enough?
Yeah. Fair enough.
So, I mean, it may not have happened. It may never happen. Maybe he just says, I don't want to be a part of this. But there are other people out there that are more than willing to make that compromise when they get into power, because these become their new peeps. These are the, this is the country club set that they run with. First time caller line, Tony is in L.A. on Coast to Coast. Tony?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you? Happy Halloween, by the way.
Happy Halloween.
Ooh, scary subject and everything. I so much to talk about, but Peter, I wanted to touch on this Nazification, if you will, of our country. And I, you know, Wernher von Braun had set up this institute. There's a woman, Dr. Carol Rosen, who's running it currently. And his warning was, you know, the Nazis, we have a plan. First, we're going to have you fight the Russians. Okay, then who is ever left standing from that one? We're going to have you fight the Muslims through terrorism. Then who is ever standing after that one? We're going to throw large rocks at you from outer space. Then we're going to show up as a fake alien invasion, and you're all going to run to one world government, and that's where we're going to be waiting for you. And this is what he clearly said, and this was his motivation for setting up this institute, to prohibit or to make aware the reasons why we should not allow the militarization of space. And that's all we've been doing for the last 30 years, is militarizing space. And if it's true that the Nazis had technology that was spirited away, Joseph Farrell writes about this stuff, that they spirited this technology away and have been developing it for the last 60 years, that the good majority of UFOs that we see could, in fact, be of human Nazi slash captured Nazi Soviet, captured Nazi U.S., technology, and that they're setting the stage for what he was talking about. And if you noticed in the media in the last 6 months, especially with shows on Larry King and ABC News, the whole previously verboten topic of aliens being taken seriously is now being completely taken seriously.
And it's an interesting idea, and I can back up, if you don't know this, Peter, what Tony is saying, that there's long been at least associated with Wernher von Braun. I don't know of any primary source material, but this feeling that he did warn of an impending alien hoax as a way of creating kind of a false flag operation on Earth. I've heard that before. Where are you with that, Peter?
Yeah, I've heard it as well, but just exactly what you said. I haven't seen any primary source material. I've seen a lot of people quoting each other on this, but I haven't actually seen the original stuff.
I haven't either.
But it makes perfect sense, whether he said it or not, or whether he, you know, whether he intended this or not, that there would be a false flag operation that would involve aliens. I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, going back to Roswell, you know, and up to the present day, I mean, when I was researching Sinister Forces, the weirdest thing, you know, happened, and that was that Guy Bannister, you know, who was a FBI special agent in the 40s. Before he went to New Orleans and became the guy that, you know, was pistol whipping Jack Martin in the JFK movie.
Right.
You know, the Kennedy assassination guy, right? So here he is in the 40s investigating UFO sightings on the West Coast, in the Pacific Northwest, I mean, in where the first Kenneth Arnold sightings were taking place. So there is Guy Bannister, and I have copies of his telegrams back to Hoover. You know, to J. Edgar Hoover, talking about he interviewed this guy, interviewed that guy, running this stuff down. And they're called the X-Files. I mean, on his communications, they're called File-X.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. I mean, I asked your listeners to look it up, because it really is some cool stuff. Declassified Guy Bannister files, declassified UFO files. They're called X-Files. They definitely are. And there's Bannister. And Fred Crisman, who was like a main player in that first pre-Roswell sighting of UFOs, where two Air Force officers were killed in 1947. So Crisman and Bannister suddenly then turn up in New Orleans, you know, as part of the Garrison investigation into the Kennedy assassination. Two guys with UFO stuff in their background, you know, the seminal UFO events of the 20th century, are now involved with the seminal assassination of the 20th century as suspects, right? So when we're talking about false flag operations, I kept wondering, you know, was the whole UFO thing a cover for something else? You know, whether it was a covering Nazi, you know, technology. We've seen some videos, you know, of saucer-like craft that the Nazis were trying to create, that they were inventing. We've seen some of the stuff that exists. Joseph Farrell is a good source on it. And coming out in a couple of weeks, actually, is a book called America's Nazi Secret. It's by John Loftus.
I got a copy of that. I got an advanced copy of that that your publisher sent me. I haven't cracked the spine on that. So what is America's Nazi Secret? What's it about?
Well, it's an updated version of the Belarus Secret that he came out with in the 80s. I think it got him a Pulitzer Prize. This was an investigation of how American industry and the Justice Department in particular was involved with the Nazis. And were involved in a cover-up, but the Nuremberg trials themselves were a kind of cover-up of a deeper, darker agenda, protecting Nazi scientists and Nazi interests and investments by the United States in the Nazi infrastructure. So it's an expose of that, and I believe this new edition has a lot more declassified documents.
Well, I'll have to look for that, and maybe even I can get them on the air coming up. Let me run something by here. I was trying to find if I could a quote or anything about Dr. Wernher von Braun about the space-based weapons. And I want to read to you what it says here on one website that quoted what he had said back in 1974. And that was this, that the Star Wars program would, which was later called the Star Wars program. It wasn't yet, obviously, in 1974, but it would later be called the Star Wars program. This idea of space-based weapons would be publicly promoted as our space shield against evil Russians, then would be promoted as our defense against terrorists from third world countries, but it doesn't say Muslims. So I just want to be very clear about that. Wernher von Braun did not say Islamic terrorists. Then their necessity would be justified as protection against asteroids and meteors. And the last card for space-based weapons, the final justification to von Braun, would be their installation in orbit against an extraterrestrial threat from outer space. That when necessary, this is what they would be called upon to defend us against. I don't know. All along, since the whole, you know, even when originally Reagan was talking about the Star Wars program, there was this feeling that it wasn't just about the Russians, that it was about a potential extraterrestrial threat. So I guess we shouldn't be terribly surprised that this came up then. Let's go to wildcard line. We get Roy in North Carolina before the bottom of the hour with Peter Lavenda, if we can keep it short. Roy?
All right. Thank you, Ian and Peter. This very informative program. Wow. I'm new to the JFK research, and I believe it was just so preposterous, so atrocious, and it's killing us to this day. How many people, how many organizations were involved in it. I'm wondering if I could ask Peter two things. It would be, are you aware that Marguerite Oswald was let go by Amon Carter, who was another big publisher of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, like that Time Life publisher? She was let go 2 weeks before the murder, and that was just after he had taking a big weekend trip to Las Vegas.
We're going to need to get that second question in right away. So what was your second question?
I just wonder in general why he thinks, you know, the USSR after World War II, they're our allies. They suffered so much. Why did we turn on them just in general? That has always driven me crazy.
All right. Well, we'll pick it up right there. Why after they suffered so much during World War II and had been our allies, why did we turn on them?
Well, General Patton, you know, always thought that we had been pointing our guns in the wrong direction, that famous quote.
Yeah, he wanted to grab the Nazis and go fight the Russians on the battlefield in the smoldering ruins of Germany. But hang on, music's playing, so that means I'm going to ask you to just stand by for a second and put that thought on pause. We'll come back for Peter Lavenda and your calls. We'll go for your questions and comments on Sinister Forces, A Grimoire of American Political Witchcraft. Peter Lavenda, the author of that, and I would argue also he's Simon, the author of the Necronomicon, but, you know, he can continue to deny that if he wants. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. So book one is The Nine of the Sinister Forces series, and well worth the investment. You can almost kind of like throw it open anywhere along the way and just start reading. And you'll learn something about the dark forces that have helped to form this country from in within and without our souls. That is to say, sometimes it's the stuff that's sort of deep down buried in our psyche, where the kinds of things we do to each other and the way we conduct ourselves sells out what this country is intended to be like. And yet at other times, there seems to be something else involved too. And those currents and undercurrents that we get from, say, the connection with the geography, from some of the phenomenon under the ground, those two play a part in sinister forces. It's a great read. We'll get back to your great questions and comments next. On Coast to Coast, happy Halloween from Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Real quickly, before we get back to the calls, let me ask you, Peter Lavenda, in all your research about Nazi occultism and Operation Paperclip, have you ever heard the story, and what do you think? Did Wernher von Braun see the aliens at Roswell?
There's a tremendous set of coincidences about that particular incident. I mean, the Nazis were brought to, when they, under Paperclip, they were brought somewhere else. I forget the name of the base where they were. But Roswell happens, right, in June of 1947. And then suddenly, Dornberger and von Braun are brought to Wright Air Force Base. It wasn't even Wright-Patterson yet, as I recall. It was Wright Army Air Force Base. They were brought there at the same time that the debris from Roswell was brought to Wright Air Force Base. So I don't get it. I mean, I don't get why it was suddenly necessary to move our paperclip Nazis, you know, rocket scientists, to Wright-Patterson to look at a weather balloon, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the point of that? I mean, there was something else going on that they would turn up the same month, you know, in the same place. So
sure.
there was something fishy about the story. And I, of course, we'll never probably find out what that was. But
no,
there was definitely something very fishy about that completely.
I think Operation Paperclip, they took him to Alabama. Does that sound right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, where eventually I think Redstone Arsenal was, right?
Right.
Yeah, probably it was Alabama. Yeah. And then suddenly moved him to Ohio, you know.
Wild card line, Craig is in San Jose on Coast to Coast for Peter Lavenda.
Hey, Ian. How you doing?
Hey. Good. Go ahead.
Peter, I wanted to ask you, because this is near and dear to my heart, this all this stuff. This is great that somebody's undertook something like you have. It's mind-blowing, because I have read that George Washington did not attend any Mason meetings the last 30 years of his life, and because he said that the temple had been infiltrated by the subversives. And I don't know if there's any truth to that. But then I wondered, can you draw a connection from the Knights of Malta to the Masons to the Jesuit priesthood?
Okay. That's a lot there. Go ahead.
That's a lot there. Okay. Starting with Washington, I think it's probably an exaggeration to say he didn't attend any Masonic meetings in the last 30 years, because he laid the cornerstone for the Capitol building in a Masonic ceremony. He was doing Masonic things. I think up to maybe at least 10 years before his death. I think he was concerned about the attempts of the Illuminati to infiltrate Masonry. I mean, he's on the record. One or two letters have referenced this, that he was satisfied that the Illuminati, quote unquote, I mean, he referred to them as the Illuminati, were trying to infiltrate Freemasonry and to cause some kind of subversive activity in the United States. So that might be what the caller is referring to. As far as the Knights of Malta, yes, there is a connection with various leaders of the CIA and the Knights of Malta, the Catholics, who were, I think, Casey was Knight of Malta, and of course CIA. There is a connection between the Knights of Malta and intelligence activities. This has been documented in a number of books. Some of them based on the idea that perhaps John Paul I was assassinated. So there's been a lot of research as to who was around John Paul and what that was all about, and the Knights of Malta and their possible involvement with Propaganda Due, the Italian Masonic lodge that was at the center of all sorts of controversy.
Yeah, and no surprise then terribly if the Jesuits, or at least you know, Jesuit priests, if not the Jesuit organization, would be involved too.
Yeah, Jesuit priests individually, sure. You know, yeah, That didn't spread.
East of the Rockies, Tony is in North Carolina on Coast to Coast. Tony?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thank you for the show, though. It's excellent. It's excellent. My question is about the serial killer triangle. What's in the middle of that triangle?
What's in the middle of the triangle in Kentucky and West Virginia, where three of the best-known serial killers came from?
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it goes from the border. It goes from about Ashland. It goes across into, I believe, Charleston, if I remember correctly, into West Virginia. And then it goes right down into, oh, goodness, I can't remember the name of the town, but it's in the border of Virginia and West Virginia. So basically, West Virginia is is the triangle for the most part. Most of West Virginia is in there, and a bit of of Kentucky and a little bit of Virginia.
What's in the middle of that? Was there something significant you were going for there, Tony? Okay, he's gone. Wild card line, Jocelyn is in Wisconsin on Coast to Coast for Peter Lavenda, Sinister Forces. Jocelyn?
Good evening, Ian and Peter. I admire you so much for the tremendous work you've done. You know, I've seen films of Hitler, and to me, I don't know how anyone could have followed him. He looked insane, and he talked insane. But also, one of the things that you didn't mention that maybe is in your book that I saw on public television was IG Farben was the company that made the solution in America that killed for the gas chambers.
Right, Zyklon and, B.
Pardon me?
You mean Zyklon B? You mean
Zyklon?
Yes, Zyklon B. And also, I was wondering, getting back to Hitler and all the psychological warfare you mentioned, how, if people, I mean, don't they realize that they're being fooled? Like, I mean, I think most of the companies would go broke with if they thought like me, because I don't believe 99.9% of advertising. You know, I check into something, and I don't buy anything unless I really need it. But I really am worried about humanity. We're just not getting, how can all this evil be happening and then believe in God? And I just.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a lot here coming on. I just want to give Peter a chance to jump in. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your question, your observations. I don't even know where to begin. Sure. You see, I think that we have to realize about my idea anyway about political witchcraft is if we relate it to magic, if we relate it to power and magic, we understand that it's a kind of seduction is what takes place. And that's what Hitler was able to do with his own people and with people who didn't even understand a word he was saying. There's a kind of direct communication to something deep within inside of person. And this can be for good or for ill. You can have a seducer, you know, who'll turn out to be your best friend and your husband for the next 40 years, or he'll be a rat, you know, but the seduction still takes place. There's a kind of psychological seduction or spiritual seduction.
Hey, look at the Salem witchcraft trials. The idea was to focus all their energies on the other, find somebody else to blame for all of their problems. Something happens, you don't want to take responsibility for it, so you find somebody else to blame and then point the finger at them. Same thing with Hitler in World War II. It was hardly a moral regime, but in order to keep the focus off of their immorality, they would focus on, you know, making an enemy out of the Jews and say, there they are, let's get them. It's the great trick of all time is to always get somebody else to focus on so that you get to run along the baseboards and people won't notice you.
Well, it's like what happened in, you know, in the Falkland Islands War. You know, here's Argentina with the generals in charge, and their country is totally screwed up. So the only thing they can think to do is invade the Falkland Islands.
Right, right.
And just have a rallying point. You know, we're gonna attack England. You know, we're going to take back the Falklands. It was ridiculous, and it was misdirection. It was just, you know,
there's misdirections.
The man behind the curtain. Yeah.
And that misdirection is like sleight of hand, or it's like witchcraft. It's like the sense of putting a spell on somebody and getting them to buy into your words and getting them to buy into your description of what their experience is going to be. Sebastian, west of the Rockies, in Corning, California, on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Hi, Ian and Peter.
Hi, how are you guys? First off, to Art, I want to say Maganda Amaga, and hopefully he's enjoying the Pasit. That's my favorite in the Philippines. And I just wanted to go ahead and say that, you know, there is a term in sociology called pseudo-speciation, pseudo for false, speciation for species, of course. And that's where the Nazis would reduce a people to a false species like rats and these right. other things. And we do that to, you know, to a lesser degree to try to gain something over somebody else. So I'm trying to figure out what is the actual evil. Is it the politics that comes first or, you know, like the institution of violence? Or is it the evil within us that wants to be the top dog, lower the other man, and then find a way to envelop them in some kind of concept in which it makes it easier for us to do violence to them?
Good question. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, it's just we're talking about Hitler so much. To think of it this way, Hitler used the Jews as a scapegoat in order to gain political power. But in terms of pseudo-speciation, he did the same thing to his own people because he treated his own people as a nation of idiots who were going to follow him no matter what he said and did, and they were going to be manipulated by him. So there was you know, two forms of that pseudo-speciation taking place. You know, the Jews are one; they're the scapegoat. They're the people who've created all of our problems. It's not your fault, but in his heart, Hitler knows what he's doing. I mean, he's the person who's credited with talking about, you know, tell a big lie that people will believe it, tell a smaller lie they won't. You know,
right, right.
So the idea of the creating of the big lie was Hitler's contribution to political witchcraft.
And that's the question of
illusion.
It's a question of where the evil is. I would say anytime we dehumanize somebody else, anytime we take away somebody else's humanity, we're doing an act of evil.
We are. We're making an object out of them.
You know? Right. We're turning them into something less than. And so that's the idea. Pseudo-speciation is dehumanizing. And that is always evil. International line, let's go to Karen in Canada on Coast to Coast. Karen?
Hi. I love when you guys do these kinds of shows, Ian. Great show and great guest.
Thank you. And he's always good.
Yeah, I never heard him before. And Peter was saying he hadn't heard anything about Obama. And
right.
2 or 3 weeks ago, Richard Serrett does a show for a Zoomer radio in Toronto, 2-hour show he did. On Obama and his connections with the CIA. And his grandmother was a CIA asset in Hawaii. His mother, his father, and his stepfather. They had a statue of Santor in Indonesia, which has been taken down. And apparently he had three trips planned to Indonesia, and he canceled all three because the people in Indonesia there know who he is and who his parents were. And he was also arrested in Russia with a congressman, and they released the congressman and kept him another 12 or 24 hours. And after he was released, Putin stated that he was a British agent. And he not only went under Barry Satour, but he also had a third name that he went under. And they were more or less saying that when they saw Martin Luther King gain so much power, that the CIA figured that they, you know, one day they would have a black president, so they might as well start working on the black president being one of theirs.
Okay. All right. I haven't heard any of this before. Peter, are you familiar with this?
Not really. I've heard some bits and pieces of this before from different places. One thing I do have to jump in and say, when it comes to the Indonesian connection, I've traveled a lot to that country, even this year, only a few months ago. The general consensus there is they just love Obama. I mean, when he was running for president, if they could have voted, they would have. Because they felt that he at least understood them, and he had been in their country and, you know, was a bit more open-minded. So Yeah, they do know Obama, but the response that I've heard has always been extremely positive.
You hadn't heard that he had to cancel the trips because they knew who he really was?
No, not at all. Okay. No, I mean, they're really waiting for him to show up, believe me, there.
First-time caller line. Mike is in Columbus, Ohio, as we're running out of time. So, Mike, I want to ask you to keep your questions short, if you can, on Coast to Coast.
Thank you. And, Peter, I just want to let Peter know that here in Columbus, have you ever been to Columbus, Peter?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, we have a mound street in downtown Columbus, and they said it got the name because it went over an Indian mound. You're talking about the government like to build near Indian mounds?
Yeah.
Well, the government, before the Civil War, they built an arsenal/prison between Mound Street and Ridge Street. It's now an art center. It's a really beautiful old building. But I guess I was wondering, why did the government want to build near Indian Mounds?
They just did it. They did it all the time. They built prisons and they built military installations on Indian Mounds. Why? I haven't the faintest idea, but it's part of that, the sinister forces that I write about. It's this pattern that takes place. And I don't try to explain it or give you an answer, but I do want to point it out, and I want people to be aware of it and to look around in their towns and find out where the mounds are and what's being built there. I mean, it goes back to the Bobby Mackey place in Wilder, Kentucky. I mean, you sometimes have a haunted site, you know, it's haunted, that's it, you know. Maybe horrible things have happened there. And then you go and build, you know, a bar, you know, or a hotel on that site. And, you know, things are going to happen, you know, and I'm not the most gullible person in the world. You know, I'm skeptical of a lot of people, but there's a point at which I probably wouldn't want to draw the line. And it comes to the Indian burial mounds. I think we should be very respectful of them and, you know, and hesitate before we start putting a condo or a parking lot on top.
We have one last call here. Wildcard line. Letitia is in New Jersey on Coast to Coast for Peter Lavenda. Sinister Forces. Go ahead, Letitia.
Yes, good afternoon. Welcome. I'm so excited about being here. My name is Letitia, and I started the American Spiritual Revival on October the 10th, and it ends on November the 12th, 2011. And we've been getting a lot of setbacks, evil forces that's been going on. And we've been praying for this country, but you mentioned earlier, what happens on November 2nd will have a significant impact on this nation for the next 4 years. And we believe that prayer can change things, but people must take action by doing their part and going out and to vote. And I just want to mention that there is a prayer conference call tonight, October 31st.
Okay. Okay, you're plugging. You've hijacked the show for plugs. All right, so good luck on the prayer thing, whatever it is that that's about.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yep. And everybody should get out and vote November 2nd. I firmly believe that. Sinister Forces, though, really just, you know, it reads like almost like a kind of an extra funky Funkin' Wagnall. Sinister Forces, book 1, 2, and 3. Thank you, Peter Lavenda. You're always welcome here.
Thank you very much, and my publisher will kill me if I don't say. You can find us on sinisterforces.info, and you can order the books there if you like, and shipping is free, and it's a great deal.
Okay, very good. And there you go. Then your evil publisher should be satiated with that. Thank you. And remember, Ghost to Ghost coming up with Art Bell Sunday night, Halloween night, on Coast to Coast AM, Deus Te Amat, 92.